to Verona, Italy, to join Veronique de Regie of the Mercatus Center, first to explain the ancient city of Verona for opera, and then to look to what she learned coming through France these last days of turmoil, and then a note, a warning, to what American citizens should listen for from the candidates on the trail for the presidency this summer. Veronique, a very good day to you. Verona, Italy, has opera. I've looked at some of the photographs of Verona starting in 1860, the cathedral, the Roman amphitheater, the ancient ruins. Your ruins on top of ruins. The Roman Empire is somewhere near the top. Underneath is ancient Italian peninsula tribes. Where is the opera in Verona? Good day to you.
Good day. It's in an arena, an ancient Roman arena, and it's the best. It's not neither. There were over 200 of such arenas in the Roman Empire at the time that were built, and this one is not the biggest. Most of them have disappeared, but this one has the merit of being as intact as can be. It's lost its fourth. There are like several rings around them. It's lost one because people helped themselves for the stones way back when to put in their houses, to build their own walls. But it's still in a really phenomenal shape. And that's where in the summer they have the Verona Opera Festival. And that's where we're going.
And what are you seeing?
So tonight we're seeing Carmen, and tomorrow we're seeing Rigoletto, and on Saturday night we're seeing La Traviata. So obviously it's an outdoors festival, and there are many such outdoors festivals throughout Italy, but this one is well known because it's in the arena.
Italy went through a bad patch because of the pandemic, and the tourists are said to be back. They're back so much that there's anxiety about the tourists misbehaving. Are the tourists heavy in Verona now?
No, yeah, it's very, there are a lot of tourists, but it's not as many as I expected. I expected way more. We just had a private tour today, and we avoided, you know, Juliet's home and places like this where there are a lot of people, of course, but it's not horrible. I mean, it's a lot of people, but I feared it would be worse.
Let's move to where the trouble has been, which is France. You were in Paris and you were in Normandy. The report I had from the south of France is no disturbances there. The story now centers on Macron, the President Emmanuel Macron, and his conduct and remarks these last days. The puzzle for me was one of the worst nights of the upsets in many major cities, the big cities. President Macron attended an Elton John concert. Did that trouble the French people? Was there a response to him? It reminded me of the French Revolution about cake eating.
Well, the people who couldn't stand Macron hated him even more for this. And those who've never really been bothered by him just ignored it. But this is just in line with Macron, who's always want to be some sort of celebrity president. When he goes and people complain, I've heard, I've never seen it myself, obviously, but when he goes, if there's some tragedy or something, he goes and he doesn't wear his suit. And France is way more formal than America is. And he rolls his sleeves. And that's just irritating for some French people.
And right now we have a headline, one headline, Macron compared to Kim Jong-un after proposal to cut off social media and riots. Very strange conduct, but he can't be reelected. So we move on to another presidency soon enough. We have a presidential race at home, and your new column is a helpful reminder to people listening to the candidates as they go to Iowa and New Hampshire these summer months. We're told that Mike Pence, the former vice president, is campaigning in Iowa. You recommend chiefly that you do not listen to promises about the future unless the politicians are ready to talk about entitlements. How so, Veronique?
So, you know, we still have a year to go, but I know it's going to be a year of pandering from everyone. And so in this column, I was warning people about a few things that we are likely to hear from a lot of people. And the first one is, if you hear anyone say, don't, you can't, we're not going to touch. I promise you, if you elect me, I won't touch Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. Just know this is not possible, because as you and I have talked many times, if you don't touch it, it's scheduled to be cut automatically for Social Security by above 20% in 2033. And Medicare, it's a little bit less. And if they decide to do this and they don't have the backbones that it takes to actually reform a program or programs actually that really need to be reformed, it means we're going to have to draw from general revenue, and that means borrowing. And effectively, in the next 30 years, the government is going to have to convince foreign investors and domestic investors to buy, on top of already the debt that we have, $114 trillion of debt. So you better hope that politicians are willing to touch it and are willing to actually reform it, rather than just do the easy thing, which is to just decide to pay it with debt.
You also remind us not to listen to simple solutions about complex problems answered by banning or regulating big tech. Google, Amazon, everything else is now under the microscope in Washington. And that is a false promise. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a false promise, because we think about Amazon, or we think about, you know, Facebook as the one thing, the public facing entity. But the truth of the matter of these businesses is that they're enormous, and they're multiple businesses with many different dimensions to them, and many of them in extreme competition with one another, but with, you know, with different industries. And so it's they're a very complex company, and the notion that he can just say, oh, we're just gonna break them in a way that is coherent and makes sense, and is just a false promise.
Finally, the way to solve everything is to put a 10% tariff on all imports. I can't believe we're actually going to hear it, but right now the Biden administration is following the Trump administration as protectionist. How should the voters hear that, Veronique? We have
So the reason why I use that example is because there are actually some people on the right, some pundits on the right who are proposing, who are saying that this is a solution to a lot of our problems, is to put a 10% blanket tariffs on every import. And that, you can believe that if they do this, they could be doing this, but don't believe that this is the solution. It's not the solution. In fact, it's going to make everything more expensive. And there's no guarantee it's going to bring jobs back, and there's no guarantee it's going to create job. In fact, it's very likely that it will have an opposite effect. So just don't buy the simple solution. I mean, politicians could do it. I trust them to do a lot of destructive things, but don't buy that one type, blanket solution is a solution to solve, you know, unemployment, unhappiness, everything. It doesn't work this way.
Veronique Tuberzier, the Mercatus Center in Verona, Italy, on her way to see the cigarette girl Carmen in the arena. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.